It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 6:07 on a Saturday morning, and words I did not think would ever come out of my mouth. It's chilly out there. It is chilly out there. It's 47 degrees outside. And this 3 days after my mother and I were talking about, well, it's 90 degrees this Wednesday afternoon. This is a record temperature for the week. Oh, my gosh. You know, if we didn't have the weather, what would I talk about? What would we do? A third of the programming at WSB and news, weather, traffic. And Kirk would not have a job if the weather was all the same. I talked to a friend the other day from, actually he's from Tel Aviv. And he says, you know, we don't have a summer. We don't have a winter. We have a little bit more rain and we have a little bit less rain, but we really don't have a wide fluctuation in temperatures. And I thought, what would that be like in Georgia not to have this strange, wild, crazy back and forth, up and down, and the temperatures not sometimes behaving the way we think they should? Well, there it is, 47 degrees outside, 6:08. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia gardener, here to help you be more successful doing whatever you want to do in the landscape. I'm not one who preaches perfection. If you are looking for perfection in your garden, go somewhere else. Do not ask me. But I can help you get a little bit further along towards your own satisfaction. And if your satisfaction means one more flower or one less weed or a prettier houseplant or maybe a tree that doesn't dry out during the summertime or perennials that really are perennials and stick around for more than 6 weeks, then give me a call, 404-872-0750 gets you in. It's early in the morning, so the lines are reasonably well open, and you can call and ask any question you want to ask. Of course, this afternoon, if you want to see me live and ask a question there, you can show up in Norcross. Norcross is having the grand opening of their big Discovery Garden close to downtown in Norcross. I'll be there around 1:30 this afternoon after the ribbon cutting ceremony. We'll talk about gardening, and I have some things to show. I know that the garden in Norcross is leaning towards mostly organic ways of gardening. And when you're an organic gardener, you have to think of different ways to enlist the help of nature to combat your weeds and combat your insects and make sure that your plants are fertilized correctly. And so I have a lot of things that I'll be showing in Norcross today of how to have an organic garden and not get on the nerves of the people who have the garden right next door to yours who may or may not be organic gardeners. That's this afternoon. 1:30, I think, at the Norcross Discovery Garden, the big celebration. They're going to have food trucks and family activities and all sorts of things to do in Norcross this afternoon. As far as what I've been doing in my garden, one of the things I've been doing is checking the color of my Meyer lemons. As many of you know, I have a Meyer lemon plant that I have carefully cultured for the past 5, maybe 6 years, I guess, now. And my Meyer lemon has some great big fist-sized lemons hanging on it. And one of the things that's really curious to me is that the squirrels don't, so far, knock wood, the squirrels have not yet discovered my Meyer lemon. Maybe it's because it's off the ground. It's up about 3 feet on a little table platform on my patio in the backyard. So the squirrels have not yet eaten my Meyer lemons. Thank goodness for that, because they're turning yellow right now. And now I'm looking for recipes. What can I do with my Meyer lemon? One year I made limoncello. Limoncello is one of the famous drinks of southern Italy. When we went on a trip to southern Italy a couple of years ago now, that was one of the favorite things. our whole garden group was every night, before, during, and after supper, we'd have a little shot of limoncello. This is good. Yum. And you can make it yourself. It's easy enough if you have a citrus plant, mostly lemon or lime or something like that. You soak it in grain alcohol. Grain alcohol. Everclear works really well. And you soak it in grain alcohol for a while and put some sugar in there and then let that age for a while and mellow it out a little bit. And then you put it in the refrigerator, preferably in the freezer. Get it really, really cold and put it in little shot glasses and slap it back. that's some good stuff. So that's what I think I'm going to do with my Meyer lemon again. But if you have another suggestion for a Meyer lemon recipe, 404-872-0750. We go to the phones first this morning with our friend Nicole in Griffin, Georgia. Hey, Nicole, good morning.
Mr. Reeves.
Nicole, how are you?
Fine, fine. Since you have such a smart squirrel, they know not what a lemon thing is because you told it on the phone, on the radio.
Maybe so. Maybe they should have talked about it enough that the squirrels leave it alone. By the way, I have started giving squirrels. I have a little vacation package in my backyard that are open only to rodents, only to squirrels and chipmunks. So I started my little vacation package business earlier this week, and already one squirrel and one chipmunk have taken advantage of my package and have been moved to an undisclosed location where they got a nice little vacation in the last 2 days. So no squirrels means less damage, I guess, to my Meyer lemon.
You need some good cat.
Yeah, you keep saying that, Nicole, but a cat brings his own problems, like who's going to feed the cat when I'm out of town, and who's going to let the cat in at night because the coyotes might eat him, and I don't want to have to deal with that. Yeah. I'd rather just deal with squirrels, take them, go, bye.
Well, if you have a zester, you know what a zester is?
Yeah, sure.
You zest your lemon and put it in the house, and it just smells so good. I just love lemon big time.
As a matter of fact, this past week I have about a half gallon Ziploc bag of dried figs in the back of my refrigerator, figs that I dried having gotten them off of the fig tree beside my house, and I thought, man, I got to do something with these dried figs. And so I looked online to see if there were a recipe that used dried figs, and the first one that came up was Martha Stewart dried figs and lemon zest tort kind of thing. And so I got my zester out, and I had a regular store-bought lemon, and I zested the lemon, got all that nice stuff on there, and the whole house smelled good.
So you're pretty good cook, are you?
No, I'm a horrible cook, but I can follow a recipe. Cooks, in my view, Nicole, can experiment and can do all sorts of weird things, and the weirdest thing that I do is I added a couple of walnuts to my fig and lemon tort. I added some walnuts, and I thought, whoa, that's getting way off the ranch here. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not a good cook. I'm a recipe follower.
A personal question.
What?
I just come from in town to feed the homeless cat that I have. Yeah. And did you ever get bully in your car?
Get bully? Who's bully?
It's just driving me crazy.
Who's bully?
I mean, people that just pass you or just following you too close.
Bullied in my car. Yes, I've gotten bullied in my car. People that follow me too close because I might have pulled out a little bit too slowly, and they didn't appreciate that. So they get right up behind me and put their lights on and say, you should have gotten out faster. And I'm not 22 years old, you know. I'm an old person, and I get out of the parking lots at my own leisurely pace.
Well, you know, to me, be respectful for the car in front of you. At least respect that. We are in the front.
That's true.
Let's get an airplane. I mean, there's just no respect on the road.
What is the problem, Nicole? Have you been bullied in your car recently that this is on your mind?
I just come back from in town. This guy was, I said, oh, shoot, he's not going to stop for me. He's going too fast. So I put my light on. Boy, he got on my bumper, and the more I slowed down, I almost stopped. And I said, ooh, boy. And we see that tractor trailer all the time. Sure. I mean, our whole life is on the road, you know. And I said, but it's getting worse, you know. But anyway.
It's being passive-aggressive. I recognize it very clearly because I've done the same thing. Come on, Nicole. I've done the same thing when somebody really, really not bothered me, but going too fast on the expressway. When they're going 70 miles an hour and I see that it's a curvy road, I'm thinking, we need to slow down. And if I'm in front of them, I'll slow down to the speed limit. And then they get behind me and then they're all messed up because that's not bullying exactly. It's just I think that the speed limit is safer at 60 or 65, whatever it's posted, not 70. And they think they should be allowed to go at whatever speed they want to. We have a disagreement.
Well, I have a theory, okay? It's funny. I have an older car, good insurance, so go ahead and tell me.
That is a good theory. How did we get onto this instead of gardening this morning?
I know.
We have about 32 seconds to talk about gardening this morning, but all of a sudden we're talking about bullying in cars and you driving your big truck and me and my problems with my figs and squirrels in the backyard. So, hey.
Well, we're all over the place this morning.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about gardeners. We don't talk about gardening all the time. We talk about other things that get up in our grill.
And all the gardener, no matter what color or where we come from, we all get along.
Now, hopefully we will. Hopefully after November 8th, which I will be thankful to God that November 9th is in the calendar books. I'll certainly, and I'm planning on early voting. I do not want to see the lines that are going to, I think, inevitably happen on November 8th. So I'm looking for early voting next week.
5 hours? Imagine that.
Yeah, I'm not. Not standing in line for nobody for president for 5 hours. I'm going to find one of them. They have several places in DeKalb County where you can do early voting, and I'm going to find the one nearest the house and maybe I can call over there to Brookhaven or someplace and say, hey, is the line very long? If they say it's 10 people, that's fine. I'll go over and vote. That's my plan anyway.
Okay.
All right. That's my plan. My plan right now is to get out of here because we got a commercial coming up. So I got to go, Nicole.
Enjoy your day.
Enjoy your day, too, and have fun with that big truck out on the road. It's 6:18. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
It's dry. Are we being weeded out? Is that what the deal is? We're being weeded out. It's so dry. My friends, the roaches there, singing about weeding and dry weather. Now, a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. It is October today. It's October Saturday, the way that October Saturdays ought to be. Expect a sunny, chilly day, no rain, afternoon highs in the mid-60s. And tonight, clear skies remaining with overnight lows in the low 40s. Stay tuned. Atlanta's most accurate and dependable forecast comes up in 10 minutes on your home of the dogs, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Shelby is down in McDonough and joins us this morning. Hey, Shelby. Good morning.
Walter,
hey.
I have a lemon bush in a large pot that I have to use a hand truck to bring in and out.
Oh, man.
My lemons are grocery store size, and if it's a Meyer lemon, what should I do to make it bigger? And let me know, you know, that it's been in the same pot for about 12 years.
Yeah.
And no change in the dirt or anything, just change in state. I moved from Mississippi to Georgia, and it's been in the same pot.
I keep thinking and saying to myself, Shelby, that I ought to repot my Meyer lemon, and then I think, but man, that's gonna be a pain in the rear because it's bigger than the pot, and how to get it lifted out of the pot and change the soil and all that kind of stuff. And it seems to do okay where it is. I tell you what, I'll do this if you'll do it. All right, and I will go out and take a dowel, nice strong wooden dowel, about half inch, point one end of it with a piece of sandpaper maybe, and I'll poke holes in the soil. I mean, that's the biggest thing that happens to potting soil over time, is it compacts because the organic matter decomposes, and so less and less oxygen can get down to the roots, and the water doesn't penetrate like it ought to. And so I will go out in the next couple of days before I bring it in, and I want to take a dowel and jab it in the ground 5 or 6 inches and get down in there and loosen the soil. But I don't know if I want to repot it, Shelby.
Okay. One other question. I have okra in my little backyard, my little postage stamp yard, and it all of a sudden got all these little black things stuck all over my okra pot. Should I spray it, leave it, let the
what are the black things? What are they? Are they bugs, Shelby? There's, you know, aphids get on okra sometimes, and you could usually just blast them off with water. I can't think of what else would be
okay
on there.
Well, I haven't tried that. I didn't know what it was. It made me angry because I don't know, on my okra, I want to eat it, not them.
Blast them off. As my mother said, you know my mother's saying, cut the bad part out and eat the rest. And I'm doubtful the little black things are anything particularly harmful, but I'll let you wash them off, blast them off, and eat the okra and enjoy. Thanks for calling, Shelby. We got to go. It's 6:27 and a half at News Talk WSB. questions about straw hauling the fescue on a slope. New Bermuda side is not doing so well, and chestnuts dropping. What are we going to do about that in the lawn? All that coming up in the next half hour after news.
Stars rose in the sky. We passed that summer lost in love.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 6:35, 47 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, and I'm here to help you. And all you have to do is call me at 404-872-0750. Pat's first in line, and Pat joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Pleasure to speak with you. Look, I've got a chestnut oak in my front yard.
Yeah.
And I understand about every 17 years they go through a cycle of really dropping just an incredible amount of chestnuts, and this is the year. I've removed about 1,000 pounds of chestnuts over the past 2 weeks from my driveway and my front porch. And my question is, the lawn, which is Bermuda, that a majority of these are falling on, is not, you can hardly walk across.
Yeah, ball bearings.
But I do have a little, a tool. Yeah. It's called the Weasel Nut Gatherer, and it's pretty good about plucking them. But I'm wondering about, there's so many, Walter, that if I leave some in the soil, is the acidity of these nuts as they decompose, is it going to harm the Bermuda lawn?
No. That's good news for you. No change in acidity at all. It's all, is your ankle going to be turned? You have to go to the emergency room. Well, are you going to throw an acorn out with your lawnmower and hit somebody in the eye? All those things are real, but the acidity of the soil is not going to be changed.
Okay, because I do wear a hard hat when I'm out there. I use my kitchen scale, and I've measured the weights of them, Walter, and they vary from about 0.4 to 0.7 ounces. And, it, you know, if one falls from 50 or 60 feet and hits you in the arm or hand or whatever, it'll leave a welt and a nice bruise. I mean, these things will clock you.
I'll give you something to be thankful for, and that
What's
is
that?
You do not live in a house with a tin roof underneath the chestnut oak. You'll never sleep. You'll never have a moment of sleep.
Well, you know, when they fall on our front porch, which is more like a deck, we have a little miniature pincher. And when those hit the deck at night, boy, I mean, she's in the bed all night growling, and it sounds like a gunshot, you know, when it goes off. But thankfully, in the past couple of days, the numbers have been slowly decreasing, and I'm hoping that in about the next week or 10 days, the last of them will be gone. But it's a full-time job keeping the driveway and the street clear of these things.
I'll tell you another thing.
I wish they were edible, too, but they're not.
Well, I don't know. With proper treatment, I think they probably could be. Native Americans, you know, ate a lot of different kinds of acorns, even though I've tried white oak acorns, which are pretty large, too. And I remember trying them as early as the fifth grade because we had a big oak tree behind the little schoolhouse. And they're bitter. They got a lot of I don't remember, tannins and things like that, so it makes them real bitter. So I think these chestnut oak acorns are, quote, edible, but not by you and me who can go to the grocery store and get whatever we want. We don't want to do that. But I'll tell you, one of the things, a second thing to be thankful for as far as acorns and stuff, is a guy sent me an email yesterday and said, I have just about been clocked by this huge round yellow fruit falling down out of the tree. And I'm wondering, what is this thing? And he sent me pictures of these five round fruits, and they were round things. I'm not going to call them fruits quite yet, but they're about the size of between a golf ball and a tennis ball, I guess. And he said, what is this? And he cut it open. One of them cut open and looked inside, and I knew immediately it's a black walnut. Black walnuts are dropping their nuts right now, and they are big. I mean, they're not half an ounce or something like that. Black walnuts are 2 and 3 ounces, and they will definitely clock you on the top of the head if you don't wear a hard hat out there. So, you know, he wanted to be sure that he knew what this thing was. It seemed to be attacking him in his car. That would make a dent in the hood of your car, too.
Yes, they would. I can imagine they would. Well, thanks so much, Walter. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for calling.
Sure.
Right. Our number is 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750. And if you want an even bigger fruit to worry about, okay, we've got, so far we've got acorns, we've got black walnuts, a little bit larger, as I said, the size between a golf ball and a tennis ball. But the next big fruit to worry about this time of year is the Osage orange. And if you do not know what an Osage orange fruit looks like, you will when you pick one up and look at it, because it looks like monkey brains, which is what a lot of people call it, monkey brain fruit. And it is the size of a, let me hold my hands in front of the microphone here, about the size of a softball. And literally, I mean that, the size of a softball. And the skin on the outside is very corrugated. And so a lot of people call it monkey brain fruit. But Osage orange is a very distinctive fruit. And let me see, where's the last place I saw one? Across from the, what is it, Swallow in the Hollow, the place up in Roswell, that there was a big tree in the parking lot behind there. There's one next to the cemetery down by the Confederate Cemetery in Jonesboro. Where else have I seen those? But nonetheless, when you see them, if they look a little bit like monkey brains, then you can say, oh, that's an Osage orange. Or if you hold it to an old person and say, what is this, Grandpa? He or she, your grandmother, may say, oh, that's a Bodark tree. Bodark? What? What do you say? Say it again, Grandpa. Bodark. Why would you call it the Bodark tree? What does that have to do with anything? It is because the Osage orange has very limber, strong wood, and it was grown out in the Midwest for centuries. And the Native Americans found that if you took the wood of the Osage orange and formed it into a bow, that it made a very, very nice, light bow material. And so when the French settlers came through, the trappers and all that, and they were introduced to this tree, the Osage orange, but the Native Americans call it the tree that we use for our bows. And the French translated that into the Bois d'Arc, the tree of the bow. Bois d'Arc is not very far from Bodark, which is what some of the old people would call it, a Bodark tree that has a great big fruit, which you can call monkey brain fruit or call anything you want to call it. That's the name, Bodark or Osage orange. Big fruit, look out below when it falls. Alan is out in Dallas and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Alan, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm great. How can I help, Alan?
I know it's getting late in the season. I'm in a huge backyard project.
Yeah.
I've had about 40 trees removed, so I probably have about 5,000 square feet that I need to sod, and I want to make sure it's not going to be too late in the year to do so. I want to lay Bermuda,
yeah.
So I need to know, if I do this, what do I need to also do to make sure it survives till spring?
Of all the sods, Bermuda is by far the most likely to be fined by laying it this late in the fall. It's late for to be putting zoysia down. It's really late to be put centipede or St. Augustine or anything else. It's just fine to put fescue down, but that's not what you want. You want Bermuda sod, and you got all that sunshine. Bermuda makes the makes most sense to lay it there. The biggest thing to think about, how are you going to prepare the soil, Alan? How are you going to till things up before you lay the sod?
Till it and then probably lay a layer of topsoil down to at least give it something.
Yeah.
Some nutrients, because it's been extremely dry, so basically my backyard is a dust bowl
right now. Till the two together, by the way. Till the topsoil and your existing soil in together, so there's not an interface between topsoil and then clay or something underneath. They need to be pretty well mixed up together, but you're right to till. That's the awesome thing to do. And then you rake it smooth and maybe rent a little roller and roll across it, and you can tell where the dips are, and then you can put a little soil into the dips so it's nice and flat and ready to lay. And the big thing, I think, after you've tilled it and laid the sod, is you can't let it dry out. The soil is still really warm now, which it should not be for late October, but the soil is really warm. And as long as you don't let the top dry out, then the roots are going to penetrate, and they will slow down as November and December come. But Bermuda roots actually will penetrate the soil slowly but surely from now through next spring. And as long as you don't let the top dry out on a windy day in January, then the Bermuda sod will survive just fine. Just make sure you water it appropriately. Don't let it dry out.
that was my biggest concern, you know, being this late in the year. Yeah. Is it, you know, going to go dormant and not do anything?
And don't forget, we have water restrictions right now, but the water restrictions are very clear that for newly laid sod, I think you have at least 30 days that you can water just about any time you want to. And so if you seem to need to put some water on it in the middle of an afternoon, it's real sunny and windy, then you can go ahead and do that without running afoul of the watering restrictions now.
Great. Sounds great. I guess I'm looking forward to a large water bill.
Doesn't have to be that large. I mean, seriously, don't the day after you lay it, probably it needs to be soaked pretty deeply. You can put an inch of water on easily and just soak it down to get the sod, the soil underneath it real wet. Just make it nice and soggy. But then after that, as long as you can keep the sod mat itself and the first 2 or 3 inches of soil underneath it moist, not soggy, but just moist, that may take, I don't know, an inch a week applied about 6 or 7 times in, you know, small increments during the week, but an inch and a half maybe per week. And that's not terribly going to affect your bill. It's going to be higher than normal, yeah, but it's going to be, after that investment in the Bermuda sod, you don't want to go skimpy on how much water you put down.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Alan.
All right. Bye-bye. 404-872-0750
gets you in to take Alan's place there. John is in Braselton, and John joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Walter.
How can I help?
My question is, I'm building a new home, and I have a rather long driveway.
Yeah.
And over the summer, you know, I strawed the area. The only thing that's come up is weeds, and a lot of it is nutsedge.
Too.
Yeah. So I was thinking of Roundup on all those areas, and mm-hmm. then come back when we do start getting some rain to seed.
All right.
But I didn't know how long I needed to wait after applying Roundup.
Roundup is real forgiving about how quickly you can lay sod or put seed out. I think mm-hmm. the label says always 7 days. Seven days is not long. So you can spray one Saturday, wait till Thursday of the next week, and things will start yellowing up pretty good. By Saturday of the next week, they'll be pretty yellow. And mm-hmm. you can mow it real close or till it and aerate it or whatever you're going to do to prepare for your seeding. But after 7 days, Roundup is pretty well gone and not doesn't affect the plants after that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So are you going to put fescue seed out? What are you going to do?
Fescue, John? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right. One of the things that there's a temptation, and I see this in my neighbor's yard, I want to point out to you, don't put a lot of fescue seed down. Just because you have a 25-pound bag of seed does not mean you need to use a 25-pound bag of seed. So measure your area. It should be somewhere between 5 and 6 or 7 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
Go over that.
Yes, it's about a 1,200 feet long driveway, and I was going to mix some rye with the fescue.
You can if you want to. It's really, at this point, because the soil is so warm, there's not really any need to mix rye with it. Go with a fescue blend and be done with it.
Okay. Thank
you. All right. Thanks for calling, John.
Uh-huh.
It is 6:48. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
Time for a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Plenty of sunshine, clear skies all day. You won't need a raincoat. You might need a sweater, of course, a sweatshirt even then. Afternoon highs only reaching the mid-60s. Overnight, clear skies pretty much. Chilly still. Lows dropping down to the low 40s. It's 46 degrees right now. Stay tuned. Atlanta's most accurate and dependable forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. We've got Edie in Marietta joining us this morning. Edie, hey, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Okay, I have two questions for you. The first one is, my dad had a plant which he gave me seeds to, and he referred to it as a running disciple. Now, I've been looking this up, tried to Google it, and the only running disciples that come up are the ones from the Bible.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, so I was trying to, he passed a little over a month ago, and the seeds that he did give me, I wasn't very successful with them. So I wanted to try to see if I could get some more seeds or maybe a plant and, you know, and try to plant it again or find out the real name of the plant.
There are all sorts of, quote, biblical names of plants. There's Moses in a boat, Stratoscantia. There's passion vine or Christ vine, passion vine that people would call Maypop sometime. And I'm sure there are others, but running disciple, they're running iris, they're running nodding onions. There are various other kind of motion plants. But the combination of a biblical reference, a disciple, with running, I don't know of a plant like that. I'll tell you, all I can do, really, Edie, is if there's someone listening now who knows what a running disciple is. I Googled it. I didn't find anything either. So if someone else knows what plant might be called running disciple, they can call in, and I will try my best to put it on the air and even post it on my website, because it's the kind of thing that nobody else in the world may call it that except you and your dad. Yeah. So I got to find out what it is.
It's a very dainty type vine. It has the leaves are kind of, they kind of remind me of, I can't even think of what it reminds me of, but the flowers that come up, they're like a light lavender color, and they're very tiny.
Wow, light lavender and really tiny. If anyone knows what a running disciple vine is, let us know here at the show, 404-872-0750. We'll try to post it and mention it later on. Thanks for calling, Edie. We got to go. It's 6:58. We'll be back right after news.